Throughout the 2000s and 10s, Gap flailed around trying to rediscover its identity. From Cohen's perspective, the three CEOs who followed Drexler, Paul Pressler, who came from Disney Parks and Resorts, Glenn Murphy, who came from Shoppers Drug Mart in Canada, and Art Peck, a former consultant who spent 10 years at Gap Inc. under Murphy, didn't have the experience or merchandising skills to reposition Gap's business. Buzzy creative directors came and went without rejuvenating the brand in a lasting way. All the while, Gap was losing customers. They didn't stand for anything anymore, and the customer was confused, said retail analyst Janet Kloppenburg. Gap failed to secure the loyalty of millennials, many of whom had grown up shopping at Gap with their baby boomer parents and may still have fond memories of the logo sweatshirts and jeans that they saw in its stores. I do. When I think about the Gap of my 90s childhood, I see a store that's bright and clean, full of richly colored sweaters, full of the transformative possibility that I felt every time I went to the mall. But Gap didn't grow up with millennials, and it lost out to the cooler, sexier mall brands vying for their attention, like Abercrombie & Fitch, American Eagle, and Aeropostale. The company was created for one generation Gap, but failed to bridge the next. Which brings us to Kanye. By far the juiciest aspect of Gap's current turnaround plan is its Yeezy collaboration. Since it was announced 2 years ago, only a small selection of items have been made available, including puffy bolero jackets and hoodies, and reports have emerged that Gap is displeased with the slow rollout from Ye and his creative team. Still, the reaction from West's fans has been frenzied. The first Yeezy Gap hoodie retailed for $90, but according to the industry website Business of Fashion, it quickly began selling at 50% above its original price on StockX, a retail site, with the hard-to-find black version of the hoodie going for as much as $899.